When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome into the Nick Baugh Podcast College Basketball Preview Edition. I am so fired up. It is officially here. I've been listening to One Shining Moment on repeat, and I've loved every second of it. I'm beyond pumped, man. I'm ready to get things cracking. I'm ready to get things rolling. I'll be calling games as an analyst for FS1 and BTN this year. It's my sixth year with Fox Sports 1, and I just love it. I think we got an interesting year on tap in college hoops, and I want to dive into it. Before we go any further, make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a single episode. We cover a lot of different things, have a lot of different fun with what we're doing. And again, the response from you guys has been really, really cool, getting everybody downloading the pod, reviewing the pod, any feedback, the tweets, Facebook, anything, just it means a lot, man. You kind of spread your wings and try something new in this podcast world, and it feels great that the response has been there. So I appreciate it, but make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a single episode of the pod. So with college hoops this year, you know, it's a season of new. There are a ton of teams who are breaking in new. And, you know, that's kind of college basketball nowadays. That's kind of par for the course. With one-and-dones and transfers, finding continuity with your roster can be really, really hard. And that's honestly why I think the teams that do find that continuity usually have success in a big way. You look at Villanova, you look at Virginia. Those teams had a core that stuck together and they flourished. And that's just hard now. That with the, you know, people transferring, people going pro, it's just challenging. So that's going to be kind of the theme of college basketball, and that's on display this year. Duke, brand new. Kentucky, brand new. Virginia lost a good chunk of their core. Gonzaga, brand new. On and on and on. So when I was going to put this kind of national college basketball preview together, there's a lot of different ways you can do it. You can go through a lot of different players or coaches or storylines. What I decided to do is just kind of go through the, you know, combing the landscape of college basketball. And what I ended up doing was I picked 11 teams that, in my opinion, I deemed to be either super important teams, aka teams that could go to the Final Four, or just kind of interesting teams to watch throughout the season in a variety of ways. So I'm gonna go through these teams. I'm gonna give you who I think are some players to watch, and then I guess we'll pick a national champ at the end of this thing. But without further ado, here we go. We got to start with the preseason number one team in East Lansing, Michigan State. Experienced, which again, like I said, is the model for success in March. If you're looking at recent history, you follow the Virginia, the Villanova model. You want guys that have some continuity, some chemistry. Michigan State returns three of its top four scorers, and they got the best point guard in the country. They got a guy in Cassius Winston, and I said it last year. There isn't a player that I trust more than Cassius Winston. Not a guy I trust more. Not saying he's the most talented, but if I got to go to war and win one game, he's the guy I'm picking. So you have an experienced, super talented point guard with an elite coach in Tom Izzo. It's a great combination. Now, there are a few things to look at. Number one, they do lose a few key guys. They lost Nick Ward, big boy in the middle. Kenny Goins was a tough guy at that power forward spot. Matt McQuaid on the wing. I actually think the loss of Matt McQuaid is sneaky big. He was kind of the ultimate 3-and-D guy. He was on the Big Ten all-defensive team. And he was Michigan State's best three-point shooter. And listen, finding a defensive stopper on the wing and someone that can knock down threes is something to watch for. I mean, it's important. You stick that guy on the other team's best perimeter player, and you have him space the floor, then offensively, that's an important role. But there's just a lot to love about this team. You know, we talked about Cassius Winston. The other thing to kind of watch for is Joshua Langford is still out. He missed the second half of the season last year with that lower leg injury. Now, they were able to navigate without him, but that's 15 points per game that you really need. And there was a lot of – last year when Langford went down, there was kind of a people kind of counted out Michigan State. Like, it'll eventually is going to catch up to them. And they found a way to keep on churning along. But I think ultimately for Michigan State to kind of tap into their potential, they probably need Langford in the equation to really help take pressure off of Cassius Winston in the backcourt. They bring back Xavier Tillman, who's a stud, tough, 10 points, 7 rebounds a game. He's going to anchor him inside. He's also versatile and can move. And then you got two guys in Aaron Henry and Kyle Arnes who are back, good core glue guys, got a ton of experience last year. So you look at this team, the head coach point guard combination, outstanding. Tom Izzo, Cassius Winston, it doesn't get anything better. Doesn't get any better than that. And so if I had to pick one team right now I'm most confident in making the Final Four, it would be Michigan State. Next team I want to talk about is Kentucky. And, you know, by now we got the John Calipari cycle in place, right? They bring in a group of, you know, McDonald's All-American, 4- or 5-star guys. They kind of have some hiccups and bumps in the road early, and then they're great late in the year. And then what ends up happening is they lose a lot of those guys to the NBA draft, and they got to rinse and repeat that whole process. And this year is kind of no different. They lost 3 first-round picks to the NBA draft. But one thing that's interesting is all 4 returners for Kentucky played, including Ashton Haggins, who started 30 games last year. So I think they're going to lean on Haggins early in the year, and I think he's going to be massively important. Again, started 30 games. He was the SEC co-defensive player of the year. He is great on that end of the floor, and he led Kentucky in assists. So he'll be a steady influence, setting the tone on defense and distributing the ball to those newcomers to get them into a rhythm. When you're a young player, it's nice when you have a bunch of different things taken off your plate. You don't have to worry about necessarily trying to manufacture and hunt your own shots. Haggins can find you. And then it's also nice when you don't have to necessarily guard the other team's, you know, top guard. If you're a backcourt player, Haggins will handle that. And so I think he's super important. The name I'll give you one name to keep an eye on. Tyrese Maxey, 6'3", combo guard, McDonald's All-American. He's going to be a really good compliment to Ashton Haggins. I think when it's all said and done, when you get to March, he's going to lead Kentucky in scoring. And, I mean, he can flat out shoot it. He's got range. He's a talented player. So I like that when I look at Kentucky, I like that they have experience to lean on, especially with Haggins. And then you got a bunch of newcomers that are super talented. I think the most notable guy is Tyrese Maxey. So with Maxey and Haggins in the backcourt and Calipari kind of having that group work through some things, I think Kentucky's going to be a team that's going to be right in the equation and factoring things in March. Next team I want to talk about, go to the ACC, Louisville. You know, when you talk, whenever you talk great coaches in college basketball, you better be including Chris Mack in that conversation. You better be. The guy's outstanding. I got to be around him quite a bit when he was at Xavier with my role with Fox Sports and them being the home of Big East basketball. So I got to see him up close and personal, and that guy can flat out coach. And that matters in college basketball, and it really matters in the ACC because you're going against guys like, you know, Roy Williams, Coach K, Tony Bennett. You better be up to the challenge on the sidelines. So when people go, okay, what do you like about Louisville? I'll say the first thing I like is I love Chris Mack. But the other thing I like is they got a guy that could end up being the ACC player of the year in Jordan Wara. He was the ACC top returning scorer because they kind of had a mass exodus of guys. But he's versatile, and versatility kills. He's 6'7", he can shoot the 3. And the other thing, so last year Chris Mack, it was year 1 at Louisville. And it was his first year with Jordan Wara. Chris Mack will have a better feel for how to use him this year, where to put him on the floor, how to deploy him, spots he likes the ball. So I think Wara's efficiency and number and all its numbers are going to go up. What will decide Louisville's season, though, is what happens at point guard. They got a grad transfer from St. Joe's, Lamar Kimball, 15 points per game. He was a 3-year captain at St. Joe's, really savvy, poised player. I think ultimately that's going to kind of tell the tale. If Kimball's good, look out. Louisville could be Final Four good. If Kimball kind of struggles, then I don't know if they're necessarily that kind of a team. But I love Chris Mack. I love Warrett. And I think if the grad transfer PG hits for Chris Mack, look out. You'd be remiss to have any college basketball conversation and not include Gonzaga. I mean, I think, to be honest with you, this is just me personally. I know Gonzaga didn't win last year, but as we've seen, the best team doesn't always win in the NCAA tournament. I thought when you looked at the totality of a team and a roster, I thought Gonzaga was the best team in the country last year. But they lose pretty much everyone from last year's team heading into this year. But here's the thing. Gonzaga, it's an elite program. So these new faces, these new guys coming in, they understand what the standard is. How about this? Gonzaga is the only program in the country to go to the Sweet 16 for the past 5 straight years. I mean, think about that. That's pretty impressive. So they understand the standard. And with their personnel, the one guy that you know is Killian Tilly. He does come back, but he's been kind of injury riddled. Only 15 points per game or 15 games last year. He had a foot ankle issue. And you remember 2 years ago, Tilly averaged 12 points per game, and he was supposed to kind of be the next Rui Hachimura, you know, kind of a guy. And, you know, Brandon Clark kind of a guy. And he's a 6'10", stretch four, and, you know, he's really talented. 47% three-point shooter, 60% from two, so the guy's super efficient. They do have another returning starter in Corey Kispert. Great shooter, tough kid, big-bodied guy. They're going to lean on him. I would say the guy to watch is Filip Petrušev. He could be the next good international big. He flashed at times last year, super skilled, 6'10". I think he'd be a guy to keep an eye on. And then, you know, at the backcourt spot, they got two grad transfers, Armon Gilder and Ryan Woolridge. They're going to have to step in and produce. They came from kind of low mid-major programs, so it'll be interesting what that looks like. But, you know, you'd be kind of foolish to count out Mark Few and Gonzaga. But the one thing to keep an eye on is Gonzaga being in the West Coast Conference. They have to make hay, get quality wins, and be good early in the year, because when they get to conference play, there aren't a lot of quality wins available to them. And that's an interesting dynamic this year, because early in the season, when they're breaking in a new group of players, they could still be finding themselves early in the year when they play Arizona and North Carolina and Texas A&M and Washington, and they're in the battle for Atlantis where Oregon and Seton Hall are there. So while usually Gonzaga picks up a lot of quality wins and almost builds up that resume so they're good come Selection Sunday early in the year, who knows how good Gonzaga will be early in the year? That's something to watch. We got to talk about Texas Tech, and obviously a team that, you know, was right there, could have won it all, lost in the national championship game. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are ready to just go, okay, you know, Texas Tech, they lose almost everybody. They're going to take a step back. Well, Chris Beard's the real deal. And remember, Chris Beard kind of just did this. Remember, Chris Beard, they're not like a flash in the pan. Like, they went to the Elite Eight 2 years ago. And they lose. They go to the Elite Eight 2 years ago. They lost 4 of their 5 starters. Nobody thought they'd be anything. And what did they do last year? They won the Big 12. They went to the Final Four, lost in the national title game to Virginia. So it's kind of the same deal. They had a lot of success. They lost 4 of their 5 starters. A lot of people are going, I don't know about Texas Tech. Listen, I ain't ready to count them out. You know why? Because they hang their hat on defense. That's their program identity. According to KenPom, they were the number one defensive team in the country. And when that's the case, that can sustain you while you're finding yourself on offense, replacing a bunch of guys. The name to remember is Chris Clark, grad transfer from Virginia Tech. Great athlete, tough. I think he'll fit in nicely in Chris Beard's system. And here's the thing. They need versatile defenders, and, you know, because they like to switch a lot of things and press out and just get after you. And they got a roster that I think can do that. And I think whatever maximum potential this group has, Chris Beard's going to coach them up and get them out of it. One of the most interesting teams to watch this year, when you're looking for a mid-major to keep an eye on, Memphis. You got Penny Hardaway as the head coach, his second year, and Memphis had the number one recruiting class. That's right. Number one recruiting class. All five guys ranked in the top 60. And you know what? They're likely going to start five freshmen. And when you look at them, when you look at just raw talent, there aren't going to be too many teams that are more talented than Memphis is. But experience matters. And that goes for coaching, too. Yeah, you look at Calipari and Mike Krzyzewski and how they can navigate, you know, four or five freshman starters. Well, I mean, Coach K is arguably the greatest to ever do it. You know, Calipari's coached for a long time. Like, those guys know how to navigate those things. Penny Hardaway, year two, I think that's something that's a legit concern. If they can gel and come together and Penny Hardaway can kind of navigate all the issues that come along with being a young and inexperienced group, I think this is like a Sweet 16, Elite 8 type of squad. But, you know, when you're young, you never know. The name to remember is James Wiseman. This guy, oh man. I mean, projected number one pick. He's 7'1". He's left-handed. He can handle it. He can shoot it. He can run. You watch this guy on film, and it's like, he doesn't look like he's 7'1". He looks like he's 6'6" with the way he moves. But he is 7'1". I mean, this guy is unbelievably talented. They're going to be fun to watch. Starts with James Wiseman. Another team that's interesting to keep an eye on is Seton Hall. You know, there's a lot to like with Seton Hall. You know, they got the experience. They returned eight of their top nine scorers. They lost to Wofford in the NCAA tournament. Miles Powell's back, All-American candidate, experienced, tough, confident. And, you know, Seton Hall is a unique team to deal with because they run a matchup zone for a good portion of the game, which kind of can disjoint you a little bit. I'm not ready to say they're Final Four caliber, mainly because they're just not a great three-point shooting team. They're ranked 281st in the country in three-point shooting, which was dead last in the Big East. And, you know, the inability to make threes puts pressure on you to be perfect. And there's a lot of pressure on Miles Powell to score a lot each night. But I think Powell's the kind of guy that could carry them. They're a team to keep an eye on. We got to talk about the defending national champs, Virginia. And the reason I've taken so long to get to them is they kind of have lost a good chunk of their core. But, you know, if there's a guy who's earned the benefit of the doubt, it's Tony Bennett, right? I mean, Virginia is not a flash in the pan. What he's done certainly isn't lightning in a bottle. And, you know, I'm a KenPom guy, and Virginia has finished in the top 15 of KenPom's final rankings the last 6 years. And they're a model of consistency. But it'll be tested this year because they lost their three leading scorers and really what was the core of their team in Ty Jerome, DeAndre Hunter, and Kyle Guy. That was Virginia. Tough, smart, winners, big, big shoes to fill. But I'm an identity guy. And Virginia has a crystal clear identity, which makes recruiting way easier. You know what you need. You know what to look for on the recruiting trail. You can control pace. That's what they like to do. They run that pack line defense. They're patient on offense. And when you know who you are, that makes it a whole lot easier to recruit. It's almost like if you know what you're cooking for dinner, that makes going to the grocery store a whole lot easier when you're going through the aisles. But if you don't know what you're cooking for dinner, you're kind of going up and down the aisles and looking at different things. And before you know it, you got pasta and taco shells. And you're like, that's not what I want. And Tony Bennett knows what he's looking for. Now, he's going to lean on two returners and Kea Clark, who was a steady, smart point guard. Not great size, but just a kid that's a winner. And then Diakite, the great shot blocker, finisher around the rim. He's going to have to emerge as more of a all-around scorer. He was kind of just a shot blocker, screener kind of a guy. He's going to have to elevate. Be interesting to see what Tony Bennett's squad looks like. We got to talk about Kansas. I love this KU team. And it starts with, I mean, I'm biased because people that don't know, I played for Bill Self his first 2 years at Kansas and ultimately transferred to Creighton, finished my career playing for Dana Altman. But I think Bill Self's the best coach in the country. I do. I think what he did, the 14, the Big 12 title streak, 14 in a row. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's that, because that ultimately is the true test of how good of a program you have. I think he's the best in the country. And so when you combined a motivated Bill Self with all the NCAA allegation stuff that has broke with the FBI things around Lawrence, with the returning studs of Devon Dotson and Udoka Azubuike, combined with an influx of ready-made newcomers, I think this KU team is good enough to win it all. Now, I referenced that Big 12 title streak. It was broken last year, and that makes sense. I mean, LeGerald Vick had a personal issue, left the team. You had Azubuike go down. Sylvia DeSoso wasn't eligible. Quentin Grimes ended up not being as good as people thought he would be. Like, they just had a lot of different things working against them last year. But there's a lot I like about this team, and it starts with Devon Dotson, their point guard. Love this guy. Tough, smart, great on defense. I think he's going to make a huge jump. He went through the NBA process, ultimately came back. Coach Self, when he gets good guards for a couple of years, they're pretty good. Devontae Graham, Frank Mason, those kinds of guys. Love him. And then, you know, I referenced Azubuike. He's back, and he's healthy. He couldn't finish the season last year because of an injury. And Coach Self, as much as, you know, basketball has become a guards game, he's kind of an inside-out guy. With what they do, yeah, they run a lot of four-out, one-in stuff, but they do a lot of high-low things. And ultimately, when you play Kansas, you have to be ready to deal with a big boy on the block. And Azubuike is a load. They run the high-low stuff. They get guys rooted up the floor on the block and do the throw over. I mean, he's a massive dude, and Azubuike changes this team's ceiling. I brought up Sylvia DeSosa. He's back and eligible after getting caught up in the NCAA, FBI sanctioned stuff, and he's another huge body that changes their front line. 6'9", 245. Coach Self called him one of the most physically gifted kids he's been around, which is saying something when you think about Marcus and Markieff Morris and Wayne Simeon and Thomas Robinson. You know, he's had a lot of good bigs. David McCormick is a sophomore now. He's been branded as the most improved player, so they're pretty good at that front line spot. And then you bring back guys that I thought were really, really good last year, and Oche Abaji, who out of Kansas City had his redshirt pulled kind of in the middle of the year and came in and balled. I mean, he's a big-bodied, really good wing that ended up being a really good piece that I think is going to only improve. Plus, Marcus Garrett is back, who's kind of a glue guy, tough defender. And Kansas picked up an impact grad transfer in Isaiah Moss from Iowa. Outstanding three-point shooter, 40% three-point shooter. And listen, man, there's just no substitute for shot makers. They create space. They impact the play even when they don't have the rock. And he's going to make it hard to double Azubuike. He's going to make it hard to collapse on Devon Dotson's penetration. He's a guy in Moss that's played in multiple NCAA tournaments. He's experienced. Huge pickup. Plus, you know what KU, they're going to recruit. They had a really good recruiting class led by Jalen Wilson and Tristan Anaruna. Both great size, versatile players. I think one of the big questions for them might be what happens at the four spot. You know, who plays alongside the bigs of Azubuike and company? Because if they do want to play high-low, you need to have a good versatile piece there. That's kind of what Dedrick Lawson was, but then he had to slide and play the five because of injuries. But you need a guy that is good at the high post and can do some different things. Be interesting to see who they ultimately land there. And you know, there's just, this team checks a lot of the boxes though. Point guard, check. Size, check. Glue guys, check. Well coached, check. And I don't know if, I mean, a lot of this NCAA sanction stuff's going to get litigated and, you know, pushed back all the way till the end of the year. I think if anything, it'll motivate this group this year. So I don't think that'll be a distraction. It'll be more of a motivation. I really like this team. I think they're good enough to win the whole thing. How do you talk about college basketball without talking about Duke? Now, they lost their rock star trio of Zion Williamson, R.J. Barrett, and Cam Reddish, all gone. But Trey Jones is back. Huge for Duke to not have to totally start over. You got a great experienced point guard in Jones. He has to improve his three-point shooting, but defense and passing and tangibles, all excellent. And Duke also brings back a few other key role guys, Javon Delorier, Alex O'Connell, Jack White, all contributed in different ways on last year's team. So they do have at least some capable returners on their roster. And Jones is more than capable. He's a really good player. And this year's kind of, it's different. They don't have like that consensus top five pick in the NBA draft coming onto their squad. There's no Zion. There's no R.J. Barrett. There's no Marvin Bagley kind of a guy, at least on paper. Now, one of these cats could emerge, but that's how it looks on paper. But obviously, they do have talent. Wendell Moore, highly touted kid out of North Carolina, 6'6", versatile inside-out dude, kind of been branded as like a positionless guy. That's kind of basketball nowadays. He'll have a big impact. Vernon Carey, huge body, 6'10", 270. He's going to be able to anchor Duke inside. And then Matthew Hurt is a 6'9", stretch four, who was an elite scorer in high school. And I think he's really important because when you looked at Duke last year, the reality was they couldn't shoot it. They really struggled to knock down shots from beyond the arc, and I think it ultimately hurt them. They couldn't stretch the floor. They couldn't knock down threes enough. And I think Matthew Hurt could really help in that regard in stretching the defense. With Coach K and how good they are at home, combined with kind of the veteran point guard and Trey Jones and a handful of incoming freshmen, I mean, I think it'd just be silly to think Duke won't be, you know, in that top 10 to 12 teams for a good chunk of the year, and then at the end of the year, you never know. I'll stop short of proclaiming them a Final Four team right now, but they're pretty darn good. And the last squad I want to talk about is Florida. Look out for this team. First of all, I'm a big fan of Mike White. I think he's a really good coach, and he's got a chance this year to make some serious noise with that team in Gainesville. He's got a good core coming back. The three freshmen who ended the year as starters last year are all back: Andrew Nembhard, Noah Locke, and Keontae Johnson. And they complement each other well. They're all different players. Nembhard is the excellent passer, floor general point guard. Locke is a really good three-point shooter. And Keontae Johnson's kind of a versatile Swiss Army knife kind of a player. And they finished the year really strong. But the reason I love this team is they picked up the best grad transfer on the market, and that's Kerry Blackshear from Virginia Tech. Big-time player. Blackshear totally changes Florida this year, raises their ceiling to a Final Four caliber type of team. He balances a perimeter-oriented team, and he provides them some experience and just kind of a veteran presence every day in that locker room and on the practice floor. He was 15.7 rebounds a game, second team all ACC. He's tough, he's smart, and he's a veteran on a team full of younger cats. I'm just telling you right now, don't sleep on this Florida team. They're good enough to win the SEC and potentially make a deep run in March. So those are kind of a handful of teams that jump out at me. You know, whenever you talk about college basketball, you always go, okay, what are the must-see TV guys? I'll give you five. First one's Marcus Howard out of Marquette. Now, Marquette would have been in my top 10, 12 teams to talk about, but they lost Sam and Joey Hauser, kind of a bizarre deal. They decided to transfer at the end of the year. And so a team that on paper was going to be really good, all of a sudden now is kind of has a lot of holes to fill. But Marcus Howard, you know, he's had multiple 50-point games in college. He's going to end his career as Marquette's all-time leading scorer. This guy is capable for going for 45 or 50 any night, must-see TV. Cole Anthony, Greg Anthony's son. He's the point guard at North Carolina. This guy can really play. Good family ties, obviously, with Greg Anthony. Roy Williams always does well with point guards. When you think about Marcus Page to Raymond Felton to, you know, back to Aaron Miles and Kirk Heinrich. I mean, he's been really, really good with PGs. Cole Anthony's really good. I told you about James Wiseman, but I got to tell you again, 7-1 lefty from Memphis, playing for Memphis, potential number one pick, must-see TV. Told you about Miles Powell. He's a super fun player to watch, a guy that's capable for going for 30, 40 any night. And then Cassius Winston, best point guard in the country. Absolutely love that cat. Certainly doesn't look like much. Like, if you just were playing at the YMCA, Winston wouldn't, like, jump out at you as, like, your first pick. But that guy can just flat-out play. You know, gun to my head, if I had to pick your national champs right now, I'd either peg Kansas or Michigan State. But it's just really, like, talk to me in a month or two. You know, like, let me kind of watch these guys play. Like, it's hard to – who is Kentucky? Who is Duke? Like, it's hard. It's hard right now because they got a bunch of new guys. But, man, am I pumped. It's officially here. I'm going to go back to listening to One Shining Moment on repeat and just getting more and more excited. But college basketball, baby, it is here. Make sure you subscribe to the pod. Don't miss an episode of the Nick Bob Podcast. Again, I'm going to be talking a ton of hoops. I'll have you covered in a variety of ways. So I appreciate you guys downloading, listening to the pod. And cheers to another great college basketball season. Peace.
Production.